This is the Jon Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. I was going to see if you would say hello first.
Yeah, I was going to see if you were going to say hello first.
I always say hello
you
first.
You know what's really funny is that this is a Mexican standoff, except there's only one true Mexican here.
I'm Puerto Rican, though.
I know.
Don't come for me.
Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Monica. How are you?
I'm good. It's an evening again.
It is an evening again, but I feel like we have a certain zest happening in these evenings.
Yeah, a certain grating, like when you microplane something and then you like leave the things off of the, you know, when you like, so you take the microplane and like the garlic and the stuff, what's it called? The
zest.
Zest.
So you were pretty much trying to say the exact same word I'd already said.
Indeed.
Zesty. Zest. I'm also drinking a beer, which is new.
I'm drinking a LaCroix, which is very not new. Cheers.
Cheers. So there is alcohol in this episode.
Yeah, we were also talking about like what musical theater song we sing in the car, yeah, like by ourselves.
Like what big musical theater number do you sing when you're alone in the car?
My answer was regrettably and embarrassingly, The Wizard and I.
I don't think that that's regrettable. The Wizard
and I.
Mine is Rose's Turn, which is wild.
That's one's worse, to be honest with you.
It has that song. That song goes to different destinations.
Oh, yeah. It's Grand Central Station.
And Patti LuPone is the star.
Patti. Oh, Patti.
Oh, how are you, Monica?
I'm swell. I am on track with my water bottle, so I'm feeling a lot better.
Oh, good.
Today.
If you listen to the last episode, you know that Monica's dabble was just in hydrating herself.
Hydrate or dihydrate, baby.
They probably make like fucking workout t-shirts that say
hydrate or dihydrate.
Like those ones that say like, it's not sweat. It's like, I don't sweat, I sparkle.
But first coffee. First I'm a beauty, then I'm a beast. Or like the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's all in like that font. And it's like in
that
like
a horrible font.
Yeah, it's like in like a neon pink and it's definitely a muscle tee. You know what it is. You know how it'd be.
Your stepmom wore one when she ran a half marathon.
She also has a sign above her like her mantle that says live, laugh, love.
Yeah.
In this house we pray.
Exactly.
She definitely has individual portraits of all of her children.
She has those like tea towels in her kitchen that say like it's wine o'clock.
Yes, yes, absolutely. She definitely unironically goes to Applebee's.
She loves Home Goods.
She loves Home Goods. She can't pass up a good Marshalls deal.
No, ma'am.
She's not a fashionista. She's a maxinista.
Oh, boy. Well, Monica, who are we talking about today?
You know what? Someone a little unexpected.
Yeah.
It's going to be Jamie Lee Curtis.
I love this bitch.
We love Jamie Lee.
I love her so much. I want her to be my mom. I mean, I love my mom, but can you imagine Jamie Lee Curtis being your mom?
Honestly.
Because if she were your mom, that means Christopher Guest is your dad, which is also a great fucking dad.
You know
dad.
What? That is a good parenting team. Mm-hmm. I would want them to parent the shit out of
also,
me.
Also, like, I just love they adopted their kids, which is just like, that just makes them cooler.
It just makes them more... I don't even know, because like honestly, any way that you obtain a child is normal,
sure.
Right? But like the fact that y'all be adopting up in this bitch, mad respect.
Hell yeah. Well, Monica, why don't you tell us about Jamie Lee?
I will. Jamie Lee Curtis, our scream queen, our Activia daddy.
This is Monica's first time reading this
You guys remember when she was in those Activia commercials?
And she was like, wanted you to be regular. And I, you know.
I respect that.
I respect it.
You know, but the question at hand is like, isn't all yogurt probiotic?
Yeah, but I think this one had like extra.
Is it still on the shelves?
I think so.
Yeah. You know what matters? But she let her secure the bag. Let her get that coin.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure her IMDb picture is an Activia picture.
Wow. Because
it's her in like the all white outfit.
That's so true. Yeah. Our Activia daddy is an American actress, author, and activist, not to be confused with an Activiaist. She's the daughter of granddaddies Tony Curtis and Janet Leigh, and is a true Angeleno, growing up in Santa Monica, attending Harvard, Westlake, and Beverly Hills High School. First of all, shout out to everyone who's ever gone to Harvard, Westlake, yeah, and come out a star. Parents, send your kids to Harvard,
Beanie Westlake. Feldstein, Ben Platt. There's a lot of you.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah. That one chick from Booksmart that is not Beanie Feldstein.
The other one went there too?
Yeah, not the main one. The side one. The one who was AAA.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either, but I've heard that she's, okay. She also went. She That's was like, nice. She was in that gang, but she didn't become
the
as famous.
The entire cast of Booksmart went to Harvard Westlake. You heard it here first. That's
you heard it here first. Send your kid to Harvard Westlake and they'll become a star, baby. A star. And then I guess maybe Beverly Hills High School.
Yeah, exactly.
She had her film debut in the 1978 horror sensation Halloween, whose success led Curtis to star in several more horror films, resulting in her title of a Scream Queen. But it wasn't until her role in 1983's Trading Places, a role that garnered her a BAFTA, and she shed her horror queen image and began acting in more acclaimed films. Jamie is a daddy of both TV and film, but she's also a children's book author and inventor. She patented some kind of diaper with a white pocket sauce.
That says SOS, you. SOS. You goblin.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. A blogger for the Huntington Post and an activist, an Octaviaist, if you will. She's also a big old nerd. She loves the World of Warcraft. I called it the World of...
That's fine. You can call it the World of Warcraft.
Okay, I'm sorry. Don't come for me, people out there who love World of Warcraft.
I used to play World of Warcraft.
I've never played it once in my life.
It's quite fun.
I'm sure it is. I heard it's like The Sims, but like World of Warcraft.
No, but we'll get into that later.
And One Piece, and has attended Comic-Con and BlizzCon incognito. She's won many awards, including Golden Globes, BAFTAs, and SAG Awards, but has yet to be nominated for an Oscar, which is a fucking crime.
Yeah.
But most impressively, she's done all of this while being the literal daddy to two children and the godmother, aka goddaddy, to Jake Gyllenhaal.
The woman has range, and not just in her acting.
You know, it really moves me, yeah, that her heart is big enough to encompass all of that talent.
I know.
And to be the godparent to the spawn of a talent.
She's a true daddy.
Oh, she's multi-talented. I can't believe that she actually patented, that she Paddington Bear'd a.
Yeah, she has a patent for diapers.
That's crazy.
I know. It's kind of wild.
What a businesswoman.
I know. Kylie, what a business bitch.
Listen, Kylie Jenner ain't got nothing on her. Mm-hmm. Schemes who? Oh, wait, that's Kim Kardashian.
Kim, I know you have a very successful underwear line, but have you heard of Jamie Lee's patent?
Have you heard of her patent for diapers?
Or her diaper patent? Oh, Monica, what is the first film we're doing for Jamie?
Our first film today is a classic film.
Good.
So good, so right. I love these. A Fish Called Wanda came out in 1988, story by John Cleese and Charles Crichton. Written by John Cleese, directed by Charles Crichton and John Cleese. Uncredited, LOL. To lend a hand in a bull diamond heist, the British criminal mastermind, Georges Thomason, played by Tom Georgeson. And is
well done, Michael Cleese.
Well done,
Michael Cleese,
boy.
John Cleese.
See?
Who am I?
This is what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, there's too many names here.
Too many names. And his animal-loving right-hand man, Ken Pyle, played by Sir Michael Palin, enlists the help of two siblings, the statuesque Wanda Gershwitz, played by Jamie Lee, yeah, and her loose cannon brother, Otto West, played by Kevin Kline.
Mm-hmm.
However, after pulling off the robbery in broad daylight, greed takes over and Otto rats out George, the only man who knows the location of the hidden loot, sending him to jail. Now Wanda must put her stunning looks to good use and seduce Thomason's unsuspecting barista, Archie Leach, played by John Cleese, in high hopes of finding the jewels. But the seemingly foolproof plan is already falling to pieces as Wanda and Archie develop real-for-real feelings for each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
This movie is so fucking funny.
This movie is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen in my life.
I had never seen it all the way through. Mm. Like, I'd only seen the beginning multiple times. And what a fucking treat to watch this movie.
Absolutely.
The first thing that hits me in this movie is that Jamie Lee Curtis looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, she's a fucking fashion icon.
Her outfits.
So good. So good.
The first thing she's wearing is that little cropped moto, like, with the little glovies.
Oh my god.
And the dress.
Yes. Yes, Jamie.
She looks so good. And she really is, like, because she's the child of two, like, notorious Hollywood beauties. Mm-hmm. And Jamie Lee Curtis, like, she's not, like, stereotypically beautiful, I think, but she has, like, a really unique beauty, like a really unique, like, sexiness.
Unique.
She is very unique.
Oh my god. In this film, Jamie Lee Curtis plays essentially like a sex kitten.
Yeah, she just, like, uses her
body,
her womanly ways.
Yeah, to she get uses what she wants. The powers of seduction in order to essentially, like, turn on all the men around
her. Yeah, and then to get away with, like, 13 million pounds.
Yeah, which I'm assuming is a lot of money.
It is. It's more, 1 pound is more than a dollar.
That's so, a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Especially in 1988.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially then.
You know what? Especially in 1980. I recently finished The Crown.
Oh,
and
really?
They talk about being, like, billions of pounds in debt. And I'm just wondering, how does a country go into debt?
I don't understand this either. But perhaps the debt crisis.
Yeah. What is the debt crisis? Jamie Lee is not indebted to anyone.
No. She just wants that money.
She just wants that coin, baby. And she gets it.
Yes.
So every decision that she makes is so calculated. And she is so manipulative and such a phony.
But, like, in a fun way.
But in a very fun way. Not in a way that's like, oh, fuck this bitch. It's like in a way that's very lighthearted and fun and, like, Monty Python-y.
Well, also because Kevin Kline, who plays her boyfriend, but he's pretending to be her brother.
Yeah.
And they're, like, fucking, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's insane. He's fucking insane.
He's so crazy.
But she's also insane. Like, I love that what her biggest turn on is when someone speaks a foreign language.
Parmigiano, Reggiano.
And all he's Boy doing is saying random Italian words, and she's, like, undulating on the floor because her she's, like, loins. Orgasming.
Her loins are on fire
from this foreign language.
And he's just saying the most random ass fucking words.
Yeah, I love their chemistry, but she also, like, she manages to fucking spark chemistry with everyone in the movie, which is why it's so good, like, especially with, what is his name? The man with the fish. Ken.
Yes.
With Ken, who has all the animals, who is so in love with her. He has a beautiful fish named Wanda, who is named after her.
Which, honestly, if we're going to be real, I think that's the ugliest fish I've ever seen.
I think it's kind of a hot fish. It's Monica, I have this question in my notes. If you were a fish, what kind would you be?
Oh my God. I would honestly, I would be a clownfish because I always be clowning myself. I'll be playing
clowning.
Myself.
You'll be clowning.
I'll be clowning down the toilet. I'll be clowning here, there, all around, everywhere. So I would be a clownfish.
I don't know what kind of fish I would be. When I thought of this question, rather.
Yeah, I was going to say when you thought of it,
thought of shark tail.
Oh my God.
And I was like, if I were to be a fish, I would want to be like the fish that
reach.
I would want to be the fish that Angelina Jolie is with, like, her long fucking hair.
With her lips.
And she just swims up with her big lips and her long fish hair.
Digging a ditch. Fucking at the car wash. Whoa, 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 whoa.
When we do Will Smith, can we do
Shark Tale? Honestly, like, low key though, like, if we're gonna be honest on this table, you know what I'm saying, fool? Like, see? Shark Tale? That's my shit. You know what I mean?
That's a good movie.
Ernie.
Jack Black is in that movie.
Oh, it's just such a
Martin
good
Scorsese
movie.
Martin Scorsese's in that movie.
I honestly don't. I know.
Oh, man.
Okay, but anyway, okay. If I was a fish, I'd be a clownfish. If you were a fish, you'd be the fish.
I'd be Angelina Jolie.
You'd be Angelina Jolie as a fish. In the DreamWorks animated film
Shark Tale. Correct.
Starring Will Smith,
Renee Zellweger, Jack Black, Robert De Niro.
All of them. And I love how, I'm sorry, this is the last thing I'll say about Shark Tale before we move back to.
No, this was a really important tangent.
I love the fact that the Krispy Kreme is called Kelpie Cream. Just look at probably your favorite. The Renaissance.
Kelpie Cream. All right. Back to Jamie.
A Mexican standoff.
A Mexican Puerto Rican standoff.
Oh, no.
Who will win?
I'll let the U.S. territory win.
All right, fine. America. What I was going to say is that, like, it's hard to pinpoint, like, what about Jamie Lee Curtis's, like, hotness is so, like, magnetic. Because she's not, like I said, she's not, like, classically hot. But something about her, she just has, like, she has, like, the it factor. Like, if I had to pick someone who has the it factor, I think Jamie Lee Curtis has it. Because she's, like, she knows she's can be sexy, but she knows, like, when to turn it on. And she's not, like, intimidatingly beautiful, but she can be when she wants to be. So it's like her superpower. It's kind of crazy.
She has a lot of confidence.
Yes. I want to have as much confidence as
you know. I find it very funny because she obviously doesn't have like long flowy blonde hair.
No, she just has that short
haircut. Has like this really short cropped like page boy e haircut. Like the haircut would essentially belong on a man, essentially is what
yeah
she
I
has.
Mean it was popular in the 80s, but she kept it forever.
Yeah, but she kept it for all of her life. Yeah. And so it's interesting to me because a lot of women sort of like use their hair as part of their sexiness.
I can confirm like, this.
Which is like a way, right? You like toss it around or if they have like...
Toss.
You know, toss. If they have like a specific hair length, they'll like use that to their advantage. If they have like the bigger the hair, the closer the god, you know what I mean? So it's like, I love that she doesn't have anything holding her back from like reaching her peak sexiness.
Correct.
And she has nothing to really use as a tool except like her.
Yeah.
Right. So I just think it's really cool because you don't see that very often. Like hair is actually in a lot of movies used as a sex tool.
Yeah. Like all of her sexiness comes from what she does with her physical appearance, but also just like how she carries herself and also how smart she is
and how she talks, right?
Yeah.
So she purrs like a kitten. Like a small kitten.
Purr
into John Cleese's ear. Purr. Oh, you're a barrister.
Their chemistry is also wild. Like off I said, charts. She's off chemistry with everybody.
The fucking
I don't
charts.
Know how the fuck she does it.
I honestly don't know. A movie like this is really hard because you have to really this kind of humor is very specific.
Yeah, it's very specific because like it was written by John Cleese. So like it's obviously very physical, but it's like when the physical meets the meets verbal.
Yeah.
And it's only funny when the two are together.
Precisely.
So it's very hard to like tell you why it's funny, but it is.
Right. And I adore her commitment to a movie like this. Like you see her giving it her 100%,
yes,
especially in the scene where she and Archie are about to like fuck in this like flat owned not by him but by like a partner.
Yes.
And they're like about to do it and she's like oh, I'm gonna go upstairs and like change into something like slinky or whatever.
Yeah.
She says and he goes lamau, and then she's like, do you know any foreign languages? And he's like I'm Italian. And starts speaking Italian. She's like, oh.
No, he speaks Russian, doesn't he?
And then he speaks Russian.
Then he speaks Russian.
And then he speaks Russian. And she's just like, there's this rope that's like essentially...
it's like the banister.
It's like essentially the banister. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but this flat is like nautical-ish themed a little bit.
It's on the Thames.
It's... And so she's like using the rope to like
basically like masturbate. She's like rubbing herself on this rope,
which is absolutely insane. And she looks like a lion in heat.
Yeah.
And it is just so like the physicality is just so fucking funny.
Yes.
Because I have never seen Jamie Lee Curtis do something of that nature. Like I've never seen
me neither
physically commit to a role in that way. I mean, maybe True Lies. But like that's something else.
Yeah.
That's something else entirely.
We'll get there.
But yeah, it was so refreshing to see a woman empower, like an empowered, sexy, confident woman. Mm-hmm. Also, like, lend herself to like really silly, sticky, like physical comedy.
Totally.
It's just so lovely and great juxtaposition. I love it.
Well, I'm especially because all the three men are, their comedy is so huge.
Yeah,
so
enormous.
Like, all three of them have these wild bits that they do for the entire movie. And like Jamie, frankly, has to compete. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if she like thought of it like that, but like when you're watching it, you know that this character, in order to hold your attention, has to compete.
Yeah.
And yes, that comes from her sexuality, but she also like uses her sexuality so passionately, it becomes funny.
It becomes a gag.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Which is, it's hilarious. It's
genius is
it's
what it
very,
is.
Very, very genius.
It's just fucking genius.
Yeah. This movie is genius. You gotta watch this.
You know how there people say the Joker is like, oh, pretty people can't be funny or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to be ugly or overweight or you exactly. have to hate yourself or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? The trope, right? That a lot of, especially comedians, use like against themselves, right?
Yeah.
Everyone makes that fucking joke. Jamie Lee Curtis is like, puts that joke to shame.
Well, it's because she doesn't take herself too seriously. She's not walking around going like, I'm the hottest fucking thing you've ever seen.
No.
She's just like, I'm hot and I know it. Take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Which is hotter than the hottest thing.
Oh, that's hot.
You know?
That's hot.
That's hot.
Yeah. And just, I mean, I know this is specifically about Jamie. I just think that the other men in this film play against her so well,
yes,
that it makes her shine even more.
Yeah,
like if that's even fucking possible,
they all elevate each other. It's amazing.
Honestly,
even fucking Ken, oh my God. He isn't, he even the with them bit. For most of the movie, but his whole bit is they just keep cutting to him where he's trying to kill a bunch of dogs.
No, so
well, he's trying to kill a woman.
It's like he's trying to kill the only witness of the crime. And every single time he tries, he just kills off a fucking dog.
He kills off one of her dogs.
There's three dogs. And he attends the funeral because he's a well-established mm-hmm. animal lover.
Yes.
And so he attends each one of the funerals, mourns, gets back in the car, and tries to figure out another way to kill the woman, and then kills the next dog.
Exactly.
Until he kills the final dog by accident, mm-hmm. meaning to kill the woman, and the woman is in shock,
and
has a heart
dies.
Attack, and he's like, and the bit culminates in perfection because he like walks up to the mob that is like now crowding mm-hmm. this woman who has died on the floor, and he just goes,
it's so good.
And he's like bandaged. So he's bandaged and bloody. He looks fucking insane.
It's just, you gotta watch this movie. It's so fucking good.
It's just so good. And watch it if not just to get to the final sequence, the final like airport fucking sequence.
You mean where Kevin Klein gets steamrolled in the cement?
Oh my God. No.
And you're like, surely he's dead.
Now that's but what no. I call comedy.
And then the final end credits where they do the text on the screen where they tell you where everyone is. Mm. And it's like Archie and Wanda moved to like Argentina and had 17 children.
It's like Ken is now the master of ceremonies at London SeaWorld.
Oh man. Oh God.
Oh my God. It's just, it is. Such a brilliant film.
Yeah.
Like, and while there are a couple of like problematic 80s things in it, I really think it like holds true to the test of time. It is still funny now. It will always be funny.
Yes.
It is just comedy gold.
Well, because none of the comedy is rooted in time.
No. I mean, the comedic timing is brilliant.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I mean. None of it is like rooted in the time period. You crazy.
I am. I'm a loony.
Well, now we move to the next film. The film we mentioned, which is True Lies.
True what?
True Lies. Came out in 1994, written and directed by James Cameron, based on the French film La Totale.
La Totale.
Written by Didier Kaminka, Simon Mikhail, I'm guessing on these names.
Mikhail.
And Claude Zidi. Harry Tasker, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, leads a double life. At work, he is a government agent with a license to do just about anything. While at home, he pretends to be a dull computer salesman. He is on the trail of stolen nuclear weapons that are in the hands of fanatic terrorists when something more important comes up. Harry finds out his wife, Helen, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, is seeing another man, played by Bill Paxton. A used car salesman pretending to be a spy. Harry forces his partner, Albert Gibson, played by Ted Arnold, to use the resources of their agency to follow Simon and Helen. They abduct Helen wearing masks, and later they assign a pseudo mission for her. However, a group of terrorists kidnap Helen and Harry, and the couple gets involved with a dangerous group that possesses an atomic bomb ready to be exploded.
Okay.
This movie has everything.
Okay, I just want to start off by saying, I want to make my stance very clear. This is an HR nightmare.
Listen, we've got spies. We've got Arnold. We've got a hot antiquity scholar. We've got Tango. We have Tom Arnold in a van, in the snow, keeping tabs on you. That's how this movie begins. That's just the beginning of this 2.5 hour masterpiece.
It's an HR nightmare. You're using government funds for your own personal gain. What the fuck, Arnold? Just because your wife is diddling someone. Well, not really.
They weren't even. She was she might have.
She might have diddled.
Yeah.
She might have strayed.
We don't know how much diddling happened.
True. And they keep using all these like new voices, these recorded voices and fake voices.
Exactly.
They're just playing around.
My only critique of this movie is that it's too long, but I forgive it because it's too long because of the huge action sequences
that are amazing.
And hysterical.
They're so good. Like, they're so good.
The first one starts because Arnold Schwarzenegger is trying to get out of this building and someone goes, "Where's your invitation?" He goes, "Here's my invitation." And he blows up the building.
And he blows up the building.
Like, it's classic.
We cannot forget the final action sequence when he shoots missile into the helicopter and says, "You are fired."
I want to know who wrote the action sequence.
I don't know. They did a great job.
Truly. Jamie, like, her moment comes in like act two of this movie. That's when her storyline really begins.
That's when she really fucking shines.
Yeah, exactly. And she does a similar thing that she did in A Fish Called Wanda, but almost like in reverse in this movie.
Yeah.
Where like, she doesn't know she's hot.
Yeah, she starts off like, I guess the right word would probably be like frumpy.
Yeah, or like dowdy.
She's like frumpy, she's dumpy, she's dowdy.
Yeah. she's a legal assistant who's like not connecting with her husband anymore. Mm.
She's like, she is more so in, like, her motivations are informed by like duty. Like,
yes.
Like her commitment to her daughter and her commitment mm-hmm. to keeping the house, you know, going, and her commitment to making sure that they're not spending $600 on the plumber guy.
Exactly.
And like, that's really how she lives her life. And I think that deep down, she mm-hmm. wants more. But on the surface, she very much seems like, okay, this is my life. And while she may not be content with it, she's like, like,
she's just like, this is how it is. Harry is Harry, blah, 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 blah. And mm-hmm. like, I am the way I am. I look the way I look. But we know, because we've seen A Fish Called Wanda, that like Jamie Lee Curtis is like undoubtedly a hot woman, a powerful woman. But because she can read as like super average mom, I think that's kind of what I meant earlier when I say she has like this superpower.
She's like sneaky hot.
Because when she like takes hold of her sexuality, it's so rewarding. Because I feel like in modern movies now, we like pretend that these super hot girls are like vaguely ugly.
Right. You know what they'll do is they'll put the glasses on and they'll put the hair in the ponytail.
Exactly.
And they'll give them like ill-fitting clothes and then they're like, go.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, let's just take your glasses off and let your hair down and put on normal clothes. And like, they're like, you're so hot.
Do you remember that music video with Taylor Swift where she... You belong with me.
Boy, do I. You that was my middle school anthem.
Me. Oh my God. The fact that she like was quote unquote like ugly or whatever when she had
insanity.
Her glasses. All she did was put on, she was wearing makeup and everything. Yes. All she did was put on glasses.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, I have glasses. I'm ugly.
And she was like the girl next door, like holding up the, you okay?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Just school stuff or whatever the fuck he says. And she's like, okay.
And she's like, well, now that I'm hot, aka now that I have contacts, he'll love me.
And she put, I love you, but then doesn't show it to him across the way and saves it for the big reveal at junior prom where she looks exactly the same.
Well, that's why these movies that have these makeover plot lines like aren't rewarding.
No.
Whereas in this movie, mm-hmm. it's super fucking rewarding.
It's so good.
That moment when she's in the hallway and she's wearing that dress that is, she's told to like wear something sexy and mm-hmm. she wears the worst dress I've ever seen.
It's so ugly.
And then she's standing there and she looks at herself in the mirror and she realizes like, I'm not sexy. Mm-hmm. And so she rips off all the sleeves that happen to rip off perfectly to reveal the perfect little black dress. Mm-hmm. And then she pours the water from the flowers on her head.
And she slicks back her hair. Like a slicked back like moment.
Exactly. And then she puts on the red lipstick and you're like, oh fuck.
Oh bro.
Oh fuck.
Oh bro.
But like she had to have known that there was something, a little sex kitten within her, because when she takes off the dress, she's wearing those underwears. You know, the ones.
You know, the word on the street is that those were her underwears.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I mean, she has a banging body.
Yeah, she brought them herself. And that fall, that was real.
That was the funniest part of the scene.
That was real.
That's what kept it real for me, though, as like an audience member.
That's why Arnie, like, you see him low-key break character yeah. in that scene, because he's like, you...
Oh shit.
Oh shit.
It was timed perfectly because she fell right across the frame.
And then just like went back up and like ripped her.
I can't describe to you like the satisfaction that I felt watching her do that dance.
Yo,
scene.
She arched her back so hard. I thought it was going to snap. My God.
Insanity.
I will say, I am waiting for someone to Photoshop that sequence into like. There is this video just came out like the other day. Mm-hmm. I watched like an ad for it. It like came up on my Instagram and it reminded me of this sequence so much. It's the music video for 34 plus 35 by Ariana Grande.
Oh my God. You mean 69?
Yes. Ah, shit. Yes, that is 100% what I'm talking about. And there is a remix with Megan Thee Stallion Ooh. And Doja Cat. And they're all dressed in like very similar lingerie. And I was like,
I wonder if there was some True Lies in Spill.
I wish they would just put Jamie Lee in that video.
I'm pretty sure she has the same body.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Put Jamie Lee in that video.
Please.
But yeah, it's just such a brilliant sequence because at first it's... As an actor, she takes it to like a whole nother fucking level because at first she starts off like very small and very mm-hmm. like insecure and kind of like she doesn't understand how like the human body works essentially. Mm-hmm. She looks so stupid.
Yes.
And then obviously she has to take direction from Arnold.
Yes.
In order to like feel herself and like get in on it and like roll and do what the fuck she has to do and like rip her hair back. Her wet hair. And it's just so good because you watch her get progressively more and more confident.
Yeah.
And it's just very cool.
Well, it's so clearly also rooted in a place of truth because we can sit back and watch it and be like, wow, she's so sexy. What a scene. But then you're also like, it's coming from a real place. Everything she does comes from a real place, despite this film being an insane action movie.
Yes.
Like literally the exact halfway point, I think it's like an hour and 10 in the movie, is when she's being interrogated by Arnold and Ted, but she doesn't know that it's them.
Yeah.
And she starts screaming basically like,
yeah,
I wanted more for myself. That's why I did this mm-hmm. because I looked at my life and I thought nothing is going to happen. I wanted to feel alive.
Totally.
And if you can't resonate with, if nothing in this film resonates with you, I'm pretty sure that resonates at least a little bit with yeah. anybody.
Yeah. That like chair on the glass really got me. I was like, yes. That's me though.
It was like, oh shit, I do want to feel alive.
Oh shit, yeah. I want to smash the glass.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, she, and the thing is like any of the action sequences she is like low-key thrust into mm-hmm. are totally believable.
Yes.
Because she is not only a badass, but also really sure of herself. So even mm-hmm. when she looks unsure or when she's dangling from a helicopter
yeah,
or whatever the fuck she's doing, she still looks like she should be there.
Yeah.
Because I think that a part of the arc for her character is just finding security within herself mm-hmm. and then bringing that outward into the rest of her life, including her relationship with her husband.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice to see that, like, Jamie Lee as an actor took the extra step and said, you know what, I'm going to bring this out in my acting, and I'm going to make sure that this person, this character, is always secure when she's, even when she's being thrown into these insane scenes.
Totally.
Because at the end of the day, she knows who she is. She needs to be coaxed into it, but she can get comfortable mm-hmm. being like an empowered, confident woman.
Well, she also so clear, like, she wants to be able to hang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Like, she knows she wants to fit in. She wants to show her husband, like, I can do this.
I can handle this.
Yeah, exactly. And also just like the fact that she achieved that good of chemistry with Arnold
Wild.
Is kind of crazy.
That's crazy to me.
He seems like someone that it's very difficult to achieve that with, just because, like, he's such an action star.
He is akin to a bag of bricks with a really nice face. Like, it's really hard to have chemistry with something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's good in this movie.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that they had chemistry is kind of wild, and that only helped her performance.
Yeah, you know? Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love True Lies.
So
10 good. Out of 10.
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
It's got
this is on my top 10 date night movies list.
I know. It's just, you know, it's got a lot of problematic shit in it.
It's fun.
I also just don't like that he said you're fired.
That I mean, really it made bothered me.
You know what, Jessica? That really bothered.
Okay,
you're well. Fired.
You're fired.
You're fired. They're fired.
They're fired.
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
No.
He's looking at the guy on the mid, like dangling from the mid.
They're fired. Oh man.
Just kidding. 10 out of 10. Classic film. Classic film.
All right. So now we move on to the one you've probably all seen.
The one. Well, how does that song go that they all sing? The, like, the main song.
Oh, I don't remember.
I have to sing it. And again.
Take me away.
Don't wanna go. Take me away.
So this film is Freaky Friday.
Freaky, freaky Friday.
Came out in 2003, written by Heather Hatch?
Hatch?
Hawk?
Hawk? I don't know.
Written by Heather and Leslie Dixon, based on the novel by Mary Rogers, directed by Mark Waters.
Yeah, baby.
Dr. Tess Coleman, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and her daughter Anna, played by Lindsay Lohan, could not be more different. While they're constantly fighting, a particularly explosive argument one night at a Chinese restaurant leads the restaurant owner's mother to give them each a fortune cookie. But little do they know, the fortune causes them to switch bodies the next day. As Tess is supposed to get married in 2 days, she and Anna must adjust to their new personalities and find a way to switch back.
Bro.
Can you imagine?
This is my worst nightmare.
I love you say that as if it could ever happen.
This is my worst nightmare. First of all, this is the primary reason why I don't eat fortune cookies.
Oh, is it? Because of this movie?
Because of this
That's
movie.
That's racist. Ah! That's a hate crime, so.
I'm being honest.
Okay.
I'm being honest. Except, no, that's a lie. I don't like them.
I don't think they taste very good, but I always eat half because some part of me is like, if a fortune is going to come true, I feel like I have to at least eat half the cookie.
They taste very bland.
It's a very dumb paranoia or like superstition that I have.
They just taste so bland to me. I can't do
it.
I can't do it even to get to that tiny piece of paper that has my lucky number on it. Jamie Lee Curtis is an absolute revelation in this film.
She was nominated for a Golden Globe. This is a PG Disney movie, and she was nominated for a
Golden Globe.
Like, that's crazy. She's obviously amazing in it.
I hoyed through the grapevine that she learned to play guitar to play her actual part.
I know, it's so good.
Isn't that fucking sick?
Yes. It's interesting because, like, if you're our age, mm-hmm. aka your mid-20s, this was probably the first Jamie Lee Curtis movie you ever
experienced.
Saw.
Yeah.
So you knew her as like this mom type. Mm-hmm. So that's why when Monica and I went back and watched True Lies and A Fish Called Wanda, we're like, oh my God, Jamie Lee Curtis is sexy.
She's a sex, not only that, but she's a sex icon.
Yeah. And when, because people still talk about that True Lies scene.
Exactly. They just talked about it the other day with the Bernie meme. They put the, they put him in Arnold's.
Yes.
They put Bernie sitting in Arnold's position in the True Lies scene.
Yes. So
watching Jamie Lee Curtis.
It's just interesting because we know her as that. So we're like, oh, Jamie Lee Curtis is like a mom type.
Yeah.
When in fact, the rest of the fucking population is like, no, that's like what she does sometimes. But what she does most of the time is
she's
be
a sex
like,
icon.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think that it's is wild. Really fascinating.
It's wild. So, you know, petition. All those out there who think that Jamie Lee Curtis is just a mom, think again.
Think again.
Think again, America. She's also a sex icon.
So, Monica, what do you love about Freaky Friday?
What Tell I love me. About Freaky Friday is the absolute chemistry between Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, they have impressive performances.
They have a great relationship.
Yeah.
At the very least that you can see on screen. And I love that Jamie really like nailed down like the nuances of how Lindsay Lohan like reacts and talks.
Yeah.
And just, she's like a fucking parrot, like a giant short-haired parrot.
Jamie Lee Curtis is better at being a teenager than I would be. Like if you told me to act like I was 17 or 15, I would be like, I don't know.
I don't know.
She does a way better. She's probably more of a teen than I ever was.
Yeah. And it's just so funny because her job, like her whole thing is like diving into the minds of people. She's a psychologist. She's mm-hmm. like a doctor.
Yes.
And it's funny. The gag of it all. She can't get into the mind of her own kid.
Exactly.
And I just love... I love how Jamie Lee Curtis attacks this fucking role.
Yes.
Because it is the range that you have to play yourself unchanged.
Yes.
Right? Like you as an older woman, unchanged, about to go through a life change, dealing with a difficult daughter, mm-hmm. and then going through this mystical nonsense.
Yes.
And then coming out the other end totally changed. That is a huge range for someone to go through. That is a huge arc. That is insane.
Yeah, there are a lot of factors at play all the time. The thing that impresses me the most, like the portion of this movie, is anytime she has to interact with Chad Michael Murray.
Oh my God.
Their chemistry is. Oof. Baby.
Off the charts.
Off the charts.
Oh, someone
so
turn up the
hot.
Thermostat.
Oh my God. Like they're so good together, but she has all this other shit going on within her that she has to incorporate into her performance. And on top of that, she has to remember what it is to be a teen trying to impress a boy. Mm-hmm. But it's also like not a boy from her time period. It's from like a modern,
a much different
boy.
Time period. Yes.
So the fact that she was able to do that so convincingly is so good. But she got like all of the little nuances of it. Like, just how she moves her body was different and how she carried herself. It was just like, I never thought I would be going on and on about how amazing Freaky Friday is.
But it's true, y'all.
But it's like a pretty impressive film.
Yes. I love when she interacts with the kids, quote unquote, her like daughter's age as her daughter, because it is spot on.
Yes.
Like you were saying, I kind of just want to like talk about that specific instance because
she's
constantly... You watch her and she's like, her eyes are kind of darting everywhere and she looks really insecure of herself and she's kind of hunching over a little bit and she's got the physicality on point.
Yes.
Not only that, but like the fact that she's able to interact with these like what are they, like early 2000s kids?
Yeah.
The fact that she's able to interact with these like Malcolm in the Middle ass fuckers are just insane to me.
Yeah.
Because anyone her age would not know where the fuck to begin.
No.
Like that's honest, right? Like no one her age would know where the fuck to begin.
Yeah.
I can't imagine anyone that age nowadays knowing how to act like a Gen Z kid.
No.
Like how do you do that?
It's just so specific. I wouldn't know how to act like a Gen Z kid.
That's what I mean. It's like every generation is so specific.
Yes.
That I think that the generation above and below is like impervious to it. Like they don't understand how they function, how they work. And I just like, it's a fucking acting revelation. Like I cannot, I have yet to see, there's this movie that just came out. Not, it didn't just come out, but Vince Vaughn plays like a teenage girl.
Oh, it came out recently, yeah.
It's called Freaky. I'm assuming it's based on Freaky Friday. Yes,
but it's like a horror
But it's like a horror version. Yeah. And I wonder, it's like, whenever I watch any of these kinds of movies that feature this, there's always something missing. You always, there's always a piece of it that's like really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Or like it doesn't feel authentic, or it's like, oh, they kind of phoned it in for this scene, or oh, they're just whining right now.
Yeah.
Jamie never has a moment like that in Freaky Friday. Not once.
No. Well, it also comes down to like the scenes where she's not with anybody else.
Yes.
Where she's just like
alone.
Yeah, where she's by herself. Like I think of when she's in her office and she keeps answering the phone.
It's so fucking funny.
And you're like, this is the point where, because no one else is around, this performance could drop a little bit, and it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't at all.
It doesn't. And when she's just sitting there listening, right? So she's not actually giving anything. Mm-hmm. She's just taking it all in from her patients.
Exactly.
Even then, this bitch can handle it all.
Yeah.
She's doodling. She's got her legs spread out. She's on the couch. She's annoyed. She's like, oh my God, when the fuck will this end?
Yes.
She's like, but at the same time, she's like trying to act a little bit mature. So can you imagine being like, at that point, like what was she like, 40 something?
Yeah.
A 40 something year old woman acting like a 15 year old, trying to act like nothing's going on when you've just switched bodies with someone.
Yes.
And also trying to act even slightly mature because you're in a literal psychologist's office, and if anyone finds you out, you're fucked.
Yeah. Or when she's on the talk show and she starts talking about the book, and like, it's so small, but the thing that made it for me is she goes from sitting normally and then she just like sits up and sits on her knees in the chair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's only something a fucking 15 or 16 year old would do.
Yes, girl.
And it's tiny little touches that really make it.
Exactly. Ugh. It's just, and it's just so good. It's just so good.
It's really good. And the message of the movie is really good too. Yeah. Just like having to go through that to really understand your child and to have them understand you, because there's equal parts misunderstanding.
I think obviously like the overarching theme of this film is like empathy. Like you just have to understand people.
Yeah.
If not based on their circumstances, then based on how they feel about their circumstances, right? I think a lot of it was like the mom, the whole movie was kind of just trying to suppress her daughter because they didn't want to talk about this big elephant in the room, which was like her father and like them, and then her moving on and like that not really being a point of discussion, and her daughter going through like really rough times at school. Like this bitch gets like bullied.
Yeah.
And like this bitch gets her tests like all fucked up.
Yeah.
It's just like she's going through it. You know what I mean? I feel for miniature Lindsay Lohan.
No, totally.
You know, and I think that a lot of what resonates with me about this movie, which I can't believe I'm saying this about Freaky Friday, but it's a very authentic look at how to fully empathize with someone, even if they're not in the same situation as you, and trying to see something from their point of view and really adopting that and accepting them for all of their flaws and understanding that their life, while it may not seem complicated, like, oh, you're a teenager, what the fuck, what problems do you have? The problems are real for that person. Correct. So, you know.
It's a good movie.
It's so good.
Y'all should go watch Freaky Friday, man.
Y'all go pop Freaky Friday on. It's on Disney Plus.
Hell yeah.
You know what else is on Disney Plus of today? Which today is February 12th. Are you going to say
the Brandy Cinderella?
The 1997 Rodgers and Hammerstein's Brandy Whitney Houston Cinderella.
Yes. The only time Hollywood has ever done diversity well.
Oh my God, baby. They really went out. They went all out.
For it.
I've read so many articles about how that whole cast is still like, to this day, like awestruck that no other cast has ever been like that snatched in terms of diversity.
Correct. And it's also just like a good movie otherwise.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Impossible. 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 It's just so fucking good. It's really good. I'm dead. I know what that's not true. I'm gonna be watching movies for this podcast tonight. But you know what I mean.
You'll watch it soon.
I'll watch it soon.
Well, that was Jamie Lee Curtis.
That was Jamie Lee.
So now, Monica, what have you dabbled in?
I have dabbled in the greatest clothing purchase of my entire life.
Oh, do tell.
I bought these slippers from Parachute.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Parachute is like,
I would love to be a Parachute bitch. I'm just not there yet.
What is this? It's like a home.
It's a home brand.
Home brand, but they mostly focus on like textiles. That sounds really like uppity, but like it's mostly just like
linens.
Yeah. And they make these like insane slippers, and they have the best reviews, and like everyone loves them. And I've always wanted like a nice pair of slippers. Mm-hmm. And so I went for it.
Yeah,
they're like $50 slippers, which it is what it is.
I feel like that's fine.
That's fine.
In comparison to their linens, which are quite expensive.
Yeah, they're really expensive. These are also made out of like terry cloth, and they have like a memory foam pad on the bottom. Ooh. It's like so luxe. And I'm currently wearing it with like my like what color is this? Gray sweatsuit. I was gonna say silver. With this gray.
I wish you were wearing a silver sweatsuit.
Oh my god, I would kill. That's just not a me move. This like all gray sweatsuit from Richard Porter, which mm-hmm. is like a brand.
Richard
I guess.
Porter, yeah. I have a single bralette from them that barely fits.
Wow, wild. So, but their actual like sweatsets are pretty sick. So. I'm just all decked out in gray today because my slippers from Parachute are gray.
You gray.
And I'm just a gray bitch.
You're a gray bitch.
And I'm loving it. But yeah, that's what I've been dabbling in. My feet have been dabbling in comfort.
Ooh, we love it.
What about you, Jessica?
I've also dabbled in a clothing purchase. Today I made an order for a bunch of Parade underwear. And I'm probably like the last person to try Parade because they've been around for a while and they're... Everyone gets a targeted Instagram.
They're so good.
But I'm really particular about my underwear.
Oh my god.
And I can't believe I'm discussing this on the podcast, but I only like a raw edge. I don't like seams.
She likes a raw edge.
Monica. And I can't find any that I like because I was buying them from Victoria's Secret, but then Victoria's Secret is very bad.
Yeah, Victoria's Secret sucks bottom.
And they also fall apart, but I've tried like 10 different brands and they're all garbage. So I was like, all right, Parade came out with some. Let's give them a try. And I have them now and they're great.
Yay. Well, by the way, full disclosure, we're both wearing them right now.
And we showed them to each other before the recording.
Mine are neon blue. Mine hers are black.
On brand.
On brand. If you switch them, they're on brand.
I wouldn't normally wear neon blue underwear, though.
That's the thing.
I'm a neutrals girl.
I know, but that's the thing is all my all my clothes are neutral. Mm-hmm. And then it's like business in the front.
Party underneath.
Party
underneath. Party in the back seat.
Party on the bottom and the top.
Oh. Well, Monica, we have a question this week.
Ooh. Is it from, did they give their name?
Yeah, they did actually.
Oh.
Well, they gave their first name and an initial.
Oh.
To keep some anonymity, I guess.
I see.
Whatever. The question is.
We respect you. We respect you. Don't hate us.
No, please keep sending questions. What actor today would you like to see in a classic film? This is from Miranda Kerr. Is it Miranda Kerr, the supermodel?
Definitely not the supermodel.
Fine.
Okay, who's yours?
I have two.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would love to see Colin Firth.
Oh yeah.
In a classic film. Yeah, I think he would do wonderfully. I would also love to see Rachel McAdams in one.
That would be great.
She's such a classic beauty, but she has that strength. I would love to see that translate to like an old black and white.
I have two.
Two. Give them two to me.
My first one is Ricky Gervais.
Oh, okay. That could be fun.
I feel like he'd be great in like a farce or something. Yeah. Something funny.
Sure.
But from the olden time. I wish he was in Charade is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Perfect. As like one of the other henchmen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or like as Walter Matthau.
Oh my god. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah. And Florence Pugh.
I was thinking of that too.
I think Florence could actually nail like the presentational of it, right?
Yeah.
I think she and I just think she would be so good. Her acting chops are also insane. And
yes.
I can't think of any other like young Hollywood current starlet that has like kind of her acting chops right now. And I think she would do very well in old Hollywood.
I agree.
I think she'd get a 15 movie contract with the studio.
With MGM, baby.
MGM, baby. Come through with the flicks. The picture.
The pictures on the screen.
The silver screen. Beauty queen. Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Diamonds.
Whenever I hear that song, all I can think of is Christina Aguilera like wailing, diamonds. right?
Yeah, in Burlesque.
Yeah. Where Kristen Bell plays like kind of an antagonist.
Yeah, plays a big old bitch.
Wild. And Cher. Cher's in there.
Yep. Cher.
Oh, God, I love
Stanley
Cher.
Stanley Tucci's in there.
I know.
Alan Cumming's in there.
Everyone's in it.
Burlesque is a great movie. Don't
that
get me started.
Guy, that one guy from Grey's Anatomy's in it. McSteamy.
Oh, McSteamy. Mm. And the vampire, the bad vampire from the first Twilight film is also in it.
He's also in it.
Cam Gigante.
We think he's gay, but he's not.
Yeah, you're right.
That's like a plot line in the film.
I know, yeah.
Go watch Burlesque.
Go watch Burlesque. Well, as always,
don't sue us, Daddy Favreau.
Farewell, Monica.
Farewell, Jessica.